Most of us probably have keys in this room. If you have a set of keys in your pocket or in your purse, I encourage you to pull them out this morning. Keys. They go to all sorts of different things. Vehicles, door locks, padlocks, all sorts of different things, right? But sometimes we can be in trouble if we don't have keys. If I asked you to trade your keys with the people behind you, there would be problems, right? You wouldn't be able to get into your car. You wouldn't be able to get into your house. You wouldn't be able to get into all the things that you've locked. I was in a vehicle accident. It was right before summer, and my parents loaned me their truck. And their truck doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles on it. Doesn't have automatic locks or any of that stuff, but I'm just used to locking things when I leave it. And so I was driving it kind of back and forth to work, and one of the times I went home and I threw the keys on the seat and was getting stuff out of the back, and I hit the lock and shut the door, and right as the door was closing, I was like, oh no. And so I reached. Well, my dad had given me two sets of keys for the vehicle. The problem was they were on the same key ring. I wasn't smart enough to think, well, maybe I should take them off. And so I reached and the door shut. It was too late. I messed around for about a half hour trying to figure out if I could get in there, coat hanger or whatever. I couldn't get it. Finally, I called the Bourbon police. They came out and got the door open for me to get the keys. But you probably had that happen to you, right? Most of us have done that at some point in our life. Locked the keys in the car. Locked our house. Haven't realized, shut the door, all of a sudden you're locked out. It's kind of, there's a lot of emotions that go on when you're standing in front of that door and you can't get in. The door is locked. It's frustrating to have a door locked in front of you and not to be able to do anything on your own to get inside. Talking about keys, we've been working through the book of Acts, and Peter's been using the keys that were given to him. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, he said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus gave Peter the keys. He's been using those keys to open the doors of salvation to the Jews in Jerusalem. He's been using the keys to open the doors for the Jews in Judea. He used the keys in Acts chapter 8 to open the door for Samaritans for salvation. And here in Acts chapter 10, we're going to see he's going to use the keys to open the door to the Gentiles as well. Last week, we talked about the unexpected salvation of someone who was persecuting the Jews. Saul, who would later become known as Paul, was persecuting and punishing the Jews, arresting them, locking them up for their belief in Jesus Christ. It was unexpected for him to be saved. But in our text this morning, we're going to see another unexpected group. Those who are not Jews being offered the gift of salvation as well. And Peter's going to use the keys that he was given to unlock the door so that the Holy Spirit could come in to their lives as well. I'm going to read through the entire chapter 10 of Acts, so I encourage you to follow along. There are Bibles in the pews in front of you, or open your copy of God's Word, whether that's hard copy or digital copy. I encourage you to open it to Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants, a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason you are coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright, God-fearing man who is well spoken by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. They asked him to remain for some days. We're going to see some keys this morning to unlocking salvation. The first is that good deeds will not unlock salvation. Good deeds will not unlock salvation. the Bible tells us, it talks about Cornelius, and it says that he was a good man. He was a centurion. He was one who ruled over, he was a military man who was in charge of probably about 100 people in his troop. And so he was over them. So he was fairly high up ranking. He was devout. He was faithful in actually doing a lot of the things the Jewish people did. He feared God, it tells us. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so he was a fearer of God, and he wasn't just that, but he also gave generously. He gave generously and offered the wealth that he had to be bestowed upon others. The Bible tells us that he also prayed continually. He prayed continually. He was a good man. He was doing some great things. On the outside, Cornelius was doing a lot of the actions of the Jews, but the fact is he was not saved. In chapter 11, verse 13, Peter's describing this, and he says, "And he, Cornelius, told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved.'" You and all your household. Cornelius wasn't saved until Peter came. Cornelius was not saved by his good works. He was not saved through his commitment, his fear of God, his generosity, his prayer. He still needed salvation. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works." Say works with me. Works. It's not a result of good deeds. So that no one may boast. So that no one may boast. I brought some milk with me as an illustration this morning. Two kinds of milk. We have this milk. It's been sitting out for about 3 days. Oh, anybody want to take a drink? A whiff? Oh, back there, Macy. She's up for anything. I have this milk. I got it out of my refrigerator this morning. It was sitting in a cooler on the front pew with ice. It's nice and cold. Refreshing. It's good milk. This is bad milk. Now, is there anything I can do to make this bad milk good? Not really. I can put some good in there, right? Did it make the bad milk good? Anybody want to try it now? Besides Macy. It didn't make it good, right? No matter how much I can put all that milk in there, I could pour the rest of this in there, I wouldn't want to drink it. It doesn't make it good, right? That's what our works do. All of us like this, we're born in a state that we are bad. The Bible calls it sinful. We all have sin in our life, and it's a problem we were born with because of the fall of Adam and Eve found in the book of Genesis. No matter how much good we do, if I filled this all the way up, it would not make it good. No matter how much good you put in, no matter how many good works you try to do, try to add to the bad, it's still bad. Good works, good deeds, good actions, they're important, but they don't work for the lock of salvation. James emphasized this in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. He says, to be doers of the word. To be working out, to be doing good works, Paul even, after this, in verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Created for good works, but they don't bring us salvation, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, good deeds will never save anyone. Good deeds will not unlock salvation. Secondly, the gospel is the key. The gospel is the key. I've enjoyed going through the book of Acts. I've enjoyed reading Peter's sermons and Philip and those who proclaim the gospel. I think this is one of my favorite because it's so brief, but it's the gospel. Verse 34, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That's the gospel. I looked at the clock before I started. It was 11:15. It's 11:17 right now. It took me 2 minutes to read the gospel. I had you all get your keys out at the beginning. Keys are all unique. I have several keys on here, and none of them are the same. But if I were to go to a locksmith and want one of these keys duplicated, what would he have to do? He'd have to look at the type of key, he'd have to match it up, and he'd have to find one that was similar, find one that was a match. And then he would engrave it to have the same points and so that it would go in and it would work, right? Have you ever done that, gone, gotten a key made, and it wasn't exact? I've had that happen a few trips later. Finally get the one that matches, and it unlocks the lock. There are a lot of other religions out there that claim they have the way to salvation, but when you hold them up against the message of the gospel, they don't match. They don't work. Cornelius was trying to do his best, and he was believing the Jewish religion, but it fell short as well. There's only one way for the door of salvation to be open for your friends, your relatives, and that is through the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Final point this morning, an unlocked door displays evidences. An unlocked door displays evidences. I love when God does the unexpected. Peter starts his sermon, and we've seen Peter can be a bit long-winded sometimes. Peter starts his sermon, he gets through point one, maybe doesn't even get to point one, and they're getting saved. They just start believing. So what are some of the evidences? Belief. They begin to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did, that he died on a cross and paid the penalty for their sins, that he came back to life, and they believed in who he was and what he had done. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell upon these Gentiles, non-Jewish people. The pouring out of gifts, one of the gifts manifested here was a speaking in tongues, and I believe that was other languages, common languages. That's what we saw at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Those were languages that were spoken. and they were speaking their original languages in order to spread the gospel even further. And so that's what this is here, pouring out of gifts, speaking in a language. Baptism, Peter says, should we withhold baptism from them? No. So he says, why don't you get baptized? There's evidences. And maybe that's something you've never taken the step of, is being baptized. I've been told before, if we ever have anybody interested in being baptized, let's open up the baptismal and let's get it full and let's baptize. Just let me know. I'd love to talk to you about that, being baptized. Jesus gave a command to his disciple, and I believe is part of the mission of our church, Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples. As a church, we're to be making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It says, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Part of the mission of the church is to make disciples, to baptize, to teach. You can see that those parts are also being played out. Peter is making disciples here with these Gentiles. He's baptizing them, and beyond that, they have a desire to learn. They don't want Peter to leave. It says, then they asked him, the last verse, then they asked him to remain for some days. They wanted to learn about their faith. We can't expect new believers to automatically know the entire Bible. They're not going to automatically understand what their new faith completely means to them. Part of our job as a church is to take believers at any state, whether they're new believers, new believer could be 40 years old, but taking them and helping them understand God's word and what it means and how to obey his commands and how to live their life in such a way that honors God and honors Jesus. Just like there's evidences for milk, whether it's good or bad. If this was the carton right here, I could look and there'd be a date on the outside, right? Isn't that the first thing you do? You look at the date. Oh, still good. Then what do? You smell it. It's good, right? Well, there's evidences that it's good, and that's what some of these are. Evidences, and this isn't a complete list, it's not an exhaustive list. There's tons of other things in the Bible, other ways, other evidences that tell us about what a Christian should be looking like. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, using your gifts to honor God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, embracing the fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 7, showing your love for one another. Hebrews 10:25, do not give up the habit of meeting together. Meeting as a body of believers, fellowshipping with one another. There are evidences for someone's belief, evidences for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Evidences for salvation in somebody's life. You see, good deeds will never amount to someone getting saved. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. There's only in one name that salvation happens. That is the name of Jesus. Jesus, speaking through the Apostle John, at the end of John's life, he writes this, behold, I stand at the door. This is Jesus saying, behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The gospel message is the key salvation. It unlocks the door. Jesus is standing there knocking. Do you hear his voice? You ready to open the door to allow the Holy Spirit to come in? There's a free gift of salvation that's offered to all who believe. Jesus is standing there knocking and waiting for you to respond to his voice in belief. Once you believe, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Once you believe, the Bible tells us that you're saved. Some of these evidences will be immediate on your life. Others may take some time to be working out, working through. But I have two questions this morning. First, are you willing to open the door? Maybe you're not saved this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never spoken, professed that you believe in him. Are you willing to open the door? Are you really to have faith in what Jesus Christ has done? Secondly, maybe you are saved. Is your belief in Jesus evident? Are these evidences that we talked about, are they playing out in your life? Are you using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you? Have you made the decision to follow Jesus in baptism? Is your belief evident? Would you pray with me this morning? God, I pray this morning that you would be working in hearts. Be working in hearts that maybe have never opened the door to your salvation. That never confessed with their mouth and believed in what you have done for them. God, I pray that as the gospel was proclaimed this morning, that it would bring forth lasting fruit. For those who maybe don't believe, say, man, I need to learn more about that. I need to understand more about Jesus Christ. I need to get to know him. Love to help you do that. Maybe you're a Christian here today and you come to church, but some of those things up there, you just have never taken the step. You've never been baptized. You've never been using your gifts for Jesus. Maybe you're new as a believer and you just need some help to understand how to live this life. God, I pray for this people. God, we pray that you would be working in hearts and lives. God, help to transform us into the presence of your, to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to proclaim your words. Give us boldness. And Father, use us as your people to build up and encourage and equip each other to follow you in our walk with you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.